My dear brethren and sisters, with you I have listened with great interest and profit to the address of the man who stands at the head of the church at this time. I'm always glad with you to be under the leadership of inspired men. The world is hungering, I believe, for that kind of leadership. The world is in a disturbed condition. There is confusion everywhere. No man seems to see the end from the beginning. I have pondered in my heart for some time what my obligation is in this state of worldly confusion. What is the obligation of my church, the restored Church of Christ, in these latter days? I think perhaps all of us have entertained such thoughts in these unhappy days. There's a world cry for peace. Everybody wants peace. In newspapers, magazines, in books, from the public platform, come cries for peace. As far back as I can remember, there has never been such a worldwide appeal for peace among the children of men. And yet, it begins to seem to us, to look to us, as if we're farther away from peace today than we were during the heavy, difficult war years. It's a curious commentary on human nature to me and to all of us that men who cry for peace look upon peace as something maybe picked up, as an apple from a tree, something lies about within easy reach of humanity. If I pick an apple from a tree, I'm supposed first to plant a tree, to care for it, to water it, to tend it, and then in due time, I shall have the fruit. And so in just that way, peace is not a thing by itself to be picked up casually, but is a fruit of something else that we must plant and nourish and care for if we are to obtain it. It's a marvel to thinking men that those who write on peace fail to understand that it can be obtained only by the use of a body of principles which, if obeyed in time, will give us peace. We can't begin with peace. We got to begin with the philosophy or the system which, if accepted and honored, will lead to peace. That seems to be the error of the nations at this time, of the leaders of the nations, those assembled in the great meetings of the day on this side and the other side of the Atlantic. They fail to touch upon the foundations of peace, upon the issues which lead to peace. They clamor for a thing they want without yielding obedience to the methods by which that peace may be obtained. Well, now we Latter-day Saints, from the beginning of our history, have taught that the good things of life, and above all, peace, can come only through acceptance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's only as we, men and women of the world, all children of God, accept the gospel of the Son of Man, the Son of God, shall peace come to rule and reign and be established upon earth. That has been our message from the beginning of the reorganization, the restoration of the gospel in this day. And we still proclaim it without hesitation that there's only one way to peace, one way to the perfect human happiness, the way of the gospel, paved with the principles that constitute that gospel. We make a further claim, brethren and sisters. It's a claim that often makes us hesitant in stating it, because it's so vast in its meaning, in its implications. We claim that this people, this church, organized under God's own voice in this generation, is the only system of truth that contains all of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that by that token, there can be no full peace, there be no complete happiness upon earth, until the men and the women of the world accept this great Latter-day message. We stand humbly before that claim, I know. But it is our claim. The Lord has said so. He has said that the time shall come in these latter days when every ear shall hear, and every eye shall see, and every heart be touched by this great message, and that this great message shall be delivered by mine own servants, though spoken of by President Smith in his opening address at this conference. Well, now then, if that be true, as I've been thinking about these things, there's my obligation. There's my divine obligation to somehow, through my feeble efforts, and through yours, and through all the members of the church, to teach to all the world the truth of the restored gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, to try to plant in the hearts of men and women, to contribute every day, in my way, as best I can, towards the teaching of the truths which in time alone can bring peace to our unhappy world. It's a tremendous obligation when we view it as a whole, but I imagine rather easy if we take it one by one, all keeping it in mind as we travel through life. Missionary work, yes, in foreign fields to grow as never before. Missionary work at home as never before. The use of these modern devices, the telephone, the telegraph, the radio, the printing press, the shortwave systems, and the other things that are coming, we shall use them all in our attempt to win men and women from wickedness to righteousness, from untruth or near truth to full and complete truth, the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it has always seemed to me, my brothers and sisters, that this church is not merely for me and for you. I must begin with myself. Undoubtedly, my own salvation comes first. But unless I give of my strength to the winning of other souls for God, my own salvation will be incomplete. Can't be otherwise if we follow the message given us this morning by our prophet and leader. We have a commission, not merely to build the church and to save ourselves, but a commission to save the whole world. We are, as it were, set apart, ordained for that great purpose. When all of Israel, we'll remember that, and every man who enters into waters of baptism, and every child who comes into the church, can be made to understand that by that act, he has accepted a great and divine commission. It'll be rather easy to keep the commandments of God, to lay aside or meet the temptations that face us today. If we stand alone, selfishly, I have received the gospel. It's good to be a Latter-day Saint. We will have done half our duty. But when we say, now, I have received this great blessing, I shall pass on to others, then comes the flowering of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of men. We are not as other people, not proud, humble, but nevertheless different. Acceptors of the truth, yielders to God's will and word, with a commission to change the whole world. It's a great commission. That has been our commission from the beginning. The great men who led this church from the beginning have voiced this doctrine. And when we talk about this commission, when we talk about our duty, our obligation, in the midst of confusion, don't let us forget that when we look back into the great labors of those who've gone before us, our fathers who founded the church under God's direction, who toiled from city to city, across the desert and the plains to build this commonwealth, that they left behind us not a heritage of methods, for the world has changed, but a heritage of spirit. You must be as eager to fulfill God's word as they were in their day. We've got to do that too, my brothers and sisters, if we are to fulfill and meet our full obligation in this difficult day. And those who catch the spirit of this obligation, of this commission, of this calling to a great people, will come strength to resist, as I have said, the temptations of the world. It'll be easy to reject a cocktail. The cigar can be laid aside easily. To divide with the Lord in tithing will not seem difficult. To converse with the Lord in prayer will be a joyful experience. Men are changed and transformed who enter into partnership with God in helping to establish his great cause upon the face of the earth. This is not a common cause. This is God's cause. This is not a cause of today. It's a cause of the eternities, both gone and coming. We are working out the eternal project, to use the phrase of the day. And so we of today must do as well as they did who went before us, a little bit better perhaps, Why shouldn't I today do better in this church than my grandfather or great-grandfather? More light has come, more opportunities given me, more means in my command. I should do better. And we all should dream about the future of the church based upon our own earnest endeavors to serve him. Now, these are thoughts running through my mind and came to, I think, to a focus during President Smith's address this morning. And I want to bear this testimony to you that as I've traveled through the world, and while I haven't traveled as much as President Smith, I've traveled far and wide. I've found thousands and tens of thousands of people not acquainted with our gospel, good, clean, wholesome people, walking in darkness, looking for the light, misled by untruth, feeling unhappy because of the untruth. We have a vast army of men and women throughout the world, in every country and every creed and color, waiting for us and our message. Now I pray, my brothers and sisters, that we may rise in our strength, the strength of Zion, to fill and fulfill our commission. Forget, at least a part of the time, the daily duties that drag us down, and give ourselves to thoughts, to actions, to lives, in building actively under the great obligation placed upon us, the great latter-day kingdom of God, the Almighty Father. May it be so, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.